This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This program is produced on Wurundjeri country. This is The Sound of Now on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, welcome in. My name's Triana Butler. This is The Sound of Now podcast edition, bringing you extended versions of the conversations you've heard on The Sound of Now's radio show. And this week, it was a very extended conversation, which is what happens when you get someone else who works in radio in. This is a chat with Jevva, who is one of the hosts of Tall Pop on Sydney's FBI radio, but also is just an incredible out and proud pop star. He's got a brand new song out called I Would Cry. And of course, because we both love pop music and we're both radio presenters, it went on for a while. So here is the extended edition of my chat with Jevva. Hope you love it. Jevva, I think, is this the first time we've spoken on the show, or have we talked? I feel like we've spoken before.
I think I sent in like a voice recording before introducing a song.
Of course, it's a voice note. Okay, that makes sense.
We haven't actually spoken.
Oh my God. So
this is the first time speaking.
Brilliant to chat with you. Hey, how you doing?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, look, I'm doing really well. I know before we get to this new song that's coming out, which we're going to get to, we got to talk shop a little bit because I know you've just started with our good friends up at FBI Radio in Sydney, which is super exciting. How's that? What's that experience like for you?
This whole experience has been crazy. Me and my co-host, Nicole Issa, we were both just independent artists ourselves, and we just noticed that we love everything that Joy does, but we were just like, is it just Joy? You know, like, as if there's no other platforms, like, giving this space to pop music. And honestly, I was always so touched that Joy FM was the one radio that always supported every song of mine. And, you know, it kind of just fell spontaneously. It just happened. The stars aligned. We met Reg, the head, at this event, and we're just talking about how we wanted to give back. And he was like, that's a great idea. And it just happened.
The show is called Tall Pop?
Yes, the show is called Tall Pop. And it's a pun on tall poppy syndrome of Australians' attitudes towards pop music, which is our theory. That, you know, like, I have a personal theory that in pop music, the Australians either have pop music fans that only go for international pop stars, or Australian music lovers who go for just very indie, rocky Australian acts. And there's no middle ground. There's no supporters for Australian pop acts. And that means there's no community to build the next pop star in Australia. And that's why everyone leaves Australia. And so we just really want to champion this movement of just actually bridging the gap. And all those people who go to the Dua Lipa concert, like, why don't they start listening to Australian pop music, you know?
Exactly.
Vice versa.
I mean, I know you get it. Yeah. I know that obviously the listeners out there get it. What's the reaction been like to the show? Because it must feel like, for a lot of Sydney people, it's kind of a lightning rod thing of like, oh my God, there are other people out there like me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been so amazing. And I think the thing that really helped is that we are pop fans ourselves. We are like huge, also Australian music fans. So Australian pop fans. But, you know, we just go to these gigs of other musicians and they're like a bit creeped out because we're like, yeah, we love your music. And it's like, right. So it's just like, it's like using our like almost fan moment to actually champion the music, you know, and actually give back, and then also platform a lot of people who don't have that leg up. And it's crazy because there's such a missing piece in the airspace for this, that even the people who are already kind of established are really thankful that we play them. And let alone the indie, independent, really super emerging ones that we can really give a leg up to. So it's just been really touching and been awesome just to be able to like play pop music that is more than just top 40 and just be able to like create a movement and share love and also like have a chat on air and have people texting in. That's been so fun.
And you know, so you mentioned coming from like a fan space, and that's exactly what it's been for me. You know, I am in no place to be releasing a record. Like, that is not going to happen. people do not want to hear that. But like, from being a fan of the music, no, I don't think you do.
What's your stage name?
What's my stage name? No, we'll tell you off air. It's fine. But yeah, no, it's
Butler T.
It's my like high school username log on the school computers.
Bread and Butler.
No, we're not doing. For a long time, it was tea puns. We're not going to butter puns.
Bread and Butler, coffee and tea.
No, it would be like something that has nothing to do. Anyway, move on. Hey, look, being that you are, you know, quite a seasoned performer, you're someone who's used to sharing music to an audience in a physical space. I want to know how that compares to this experience that you have, and we both now have it, where you kind of get to share music to this really broad audience, and there's not the pressure of having to perform the music.
Oh my gosh, it is, I cannot tell you, it is so satisfying. And so I think when you have to perform or the spotlight is on you to promote your own thing, there can come a lot of anxiety and pressure around it, being like, oh, will people listen? Or will people hope? Like, do people like me? Do people like the things I'm doing? Do people like my music? And it's just, it's part of the job and the craft, but it can be really exhausting at times because it's very me, me, me. And it's so rewarding to like take this love for pop music and just give it back and be the person that can support these people and support pop music and, yeah, fan about it and just be able to like just share the love and just, you know, just be ourselves authentically. It's not like we're just like, oh, here's this song. Oh, ha, ha, ha. It's like we're actually like pop music fans.
Mm.
So it's just so special to be able to share that and also have it so well received and people love it. And I'm just really grateful for it all. It's been such a wonderful experience. And I'm really grateful for FBI and Reg for taking a chance on this idea.
Reg is a legend. Reputation that Reg has that goes right across Australia. He's such a cool dude. Hey, so let's talk about your music, because that is actually what we're here for. I Would Cry is the new song. It did premiere yesterday, if you're listening to FBI Radio up in Sydney on Tall Pop. What was the reaction like in that moment?
I honestly just like teared up in the studio and I just wanted to cry, and a few people texted in and Nicole was just hugging me, and it's just a really vulnerable moment, and I don't think I expected that. I think it's still like my music's always been really honest, but there's something really different about this one. It really feels like I'm putting my heart on my sleeve, like for anyone with a butcher knife to just so.
It feels like that, man. It feels like that. It's even more confessional, which is rare given that one of your earlier songs was about like the exact moment where you kind of confessed that you were into someone and he was like, whoa, what are you doing, man? Like, that's for this to be more confessional than that, like, that's even more brutal.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know why I just keep... Maybe I'm so sadistic, masochistic. I just love the pain.
No, it's...
why not, right?
Leaning into your Taylor Swift lifestyle, that's what it is.
People will be scared. People are scared to date me. They're like, right.
Yeah, just wait till you have your vigilante shit era. It's going to really go down. Hey, look, you know what this song reminds me of? And there's this moment kind of in the middle where it, like, bursts to life. And actually, it's one of my all-time favorite songs. It's Such Great Heights by the Postal Service. Just, like, the pacing of it and, like, the way that it hits and the kind of momentum that it carries through it. It's such a beautiful, cinematic piece of music, man. It really feels like your best work yet, which is huge given the Typhoon EP. Like, that was such a high bar for what you've been doing, but this just feels so next level.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so sweet. I don't know that song, actually, but I've heard of the Postal Service, and I'll definitely have to check it out.
I think
musically, it's true. I think cinematic pop music is something I've always strived for. The artists that I really look up to, like the 1975, Carly Rae Jepsen, Maggie Rogers, Taylor Swift, Lainey, they all managed to create a world out of their music, and it feels like when you listen to their album, you're in their cinema, you're in their world. And that's always been really inspirational to me. And I think there were some influences of personally, there were some influences of maybe like Holly Humberstone in this one. But yeah, I made the demo myself and then brought it to producer, and it just made something really, really beautiful. And my long time collaborator, Adam Zykor, who did Typhoon EP with me, really poured his love and heart into that one. And I think it really shows. So I'm just really grateful that it turned out the way it did.
So you said just there, you had this really interesting line of, it feels like you're in their cinema while they're telling this story, and it feels like you're kind of in that world, which leads really neatly to this new short film that is about to come out, Typhoon, so to speak, Typhoon, a coming out story, truly you living out this Taylor Swift lifestyle that you've got planned for yourself.
Not me like milking everything that I have and just like ring it out. I'm just like, yeah, you only come out once. Make an EP about it. Make a film about it. Make anything about it.
Yeah, really like cut yourself to see how much it bleeds, but then do that on a public scale and then turn it into a short film everyone can experience it. Tell me about this film and this song in particular and kind of what it's about and what it represents.
So the song and film are two different things. The film itself, essentially, after I put out the EP last year, I had a live show for it at Newtown at the Vanguard, and that was super exciting. I think it was my first headline show. I did it with my friends. It sold out, such a good vibe. But that's where I invited a few industry people, and that's where I then met my manager. And he loved... His name is Dan. He's such a good egg. Shout out to Dan. But he just loved...
Shout out to Dan.
Yeah, Dan loved everything that I was doing, and he loved what it was about. And he's just like, I just believe in this so much. This needs another wind. And so we decided... He asked if I had one extra song in the vault about it, because the EP, for anyone who doesn't know, is just about how I caught feelings for an old friend who didn't feel the same way. And then that rejection just ultimately just... forced me to get myself out of the closet because I was just such a mess and everyone's like, what's going on? And I was like, I have feelings for Noah. But what happened, Dan was like, is there one other song? And I'm like, why? Because I was like, I'm so tired of promoting this story. But he's like, no, like, this is so beautiful. Like, I want to do this with you. And so I found this really old song in the vault that I never turned into a production or anything. And the song was about the song was about seeing my ex-crush at a birthday party, like a year after it all went down, and just freezing and just not knowing what to do, like being like, oh, it's been so long, like I wonder what he's thinking, like is he looking at me, like I want to avoid eye contact, like we've just both probably been so hurt by each other by at this point from the falling out. And it's just such an awkward feeling because I'm just like, oh my God, I just want to talk to him and just see, you know, and just reach out. And I think about all the good times. But as soon as I actually think about going over there and saying something, I just start tearing up and the pain comes flooding back. And hence the title, I Would Cry. And that's going to be the final song off the... It's going to be basically added to Typhoon as the final song. And the short film is essentially going to be talking about the whole experience of coming out through conceptual, like almost like Ghibli-esque artsy film technique. Does that make sense? I don't really know how to explain that.
No, that makes perfect sense.
You know when it's like, yeah, like, you know when it's just not like just literal and saying it as it is, but it's like more symbolic about...
It's metaphorical. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. And that's really... And it's, yeah, it's just really wholesome and special because his sister was wanting to start a production film company, and she did with her friend, Veda and Michelle, started a company called Genuine Fake. And it's just a production company that wants to champion Asian representation on screen. And so it was just really wonderful working with them and just telling the story in another format because... Just God knows how much I needed it when I was a kid. Like, I don't know how different it is these days and if it's easier for people to come out, but, oh, it was so hard for me, I'm sure.
Being that you're a Chinese-Australian queer man, have you heard from other queer Chinese-Australian people who are like, wow, like your story has meant something to me? Has anyone, like, reached out?
I think there was this one moment that when I performed At a Chinese New Year queer event, actually, organised by Diane Tai, who is such a champion in the Sydney scene.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out to Diane Tai, my goodness.
Diane does so much for the scene in Sydney, and I was so grateful to be invited to perform, and so I did and told my story. And it was, yeah, people came up to me afterwards and were crying and were just saying to keep going and how much it meant to them. And I think that was a moment that was really, really special.
It's a powerful sign. It shows that the music's connecting with people. It shows that you're leaving an impact in the world, man. It's really special.
Oh, thank you, Triana. And I think it's also like a bit, like in a selfish way, it's a bit comforting in the sense that, like, you know, like music is so inherently, as an artist, inherently it is a little bit narcissistic. But if I'm able to like, And also, like, when people say, like, oh, but it's not about me. It's just about, I'm just giving back. It's also like, right, like, you're lying, you know, like, it's, but when you find that middle ground where you're like, I want to tell my story, but this story is going to help people as well. Like, it's just comforting because then no matter how it's received, I can have peace in myself that it was for a good cause. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm just an artist that's just singing about my, I don't know, my life, I'm like, la, la, la. If it doesn't do well, I get really, like, I would imagine that I get really, like, anxious or, like, oh, my God, people don't care about me. But because it's, like, part of a movement and part of something that hopefully can help people, no matter what happens, I'm just grateful with the work that I'm doing and that I'm putting out in the world. I'm just really grateful.
100%. And there's this concept, I don't know if you know Zane Lowe. There's this concept Zane Lowe talks about, the trade, where you as an artist are, you know, you've written this song, you've created this piece of artwork, and if you want to, you can keep that to yourself forever and ever, and that can be just your own private thing that you work through. But if you choose to, you can share that with the world. And when you do that, you kind of give away part of your story and you give away the ability to keep that to yourself. But the trade that you get back is these people who have come to you and hear this music and connect with it and feel the need to kind of respond and share with you what it means to them. It's a really special process, and it feels like you're benefiting quite well from this trade.
Yeah, totally. I just... Maybe it's just a way to be able to process my own life as well. Like, I think life is chaotic and it can be beautiful, but inherently it is really hard and everyone has their own battles. And and I guess the thing for me was, when growing up, there were no resources or like representation for other people who are facing my battle. And I think it's just really rewarding to know that I'm sharing something that I needed. And also, whilst doing that, really just helping process whatever's going on in my life and just trying to understand it.
Hey, we should play this song, shouldn't we? We've been talking for a while. Yeah. So the artist is Gemma. The song is called I Would Cry. Let's play it right now.
Hey.
I didn't know what the reaction was going to be, but that's cool. What if I tell you that Joy's adding it to the playlist?
Oh my gosh, shut up. As if. Really?
It's happening. It's true. Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. That's so sweet. Oh.
Shall we do a Joy first play?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's play it. It's from Gemma. It's called I Would Cry. A Joy first play right here on The Sound of Now on Joy 94.9. Thanks so much, Gemma. Have a great one.
Find the full playlist on the Joy website, joy.org.au/thesoundofnow.
Huge thank you to Gemma for taking the time to chat today. You can catch his music wherever you stream music. And don't miss his show Tall Pop with Nicole Issa on FBI Radio in Sydney as well. It's on Sunday afternoons. If you're a fan of this show, The Sound of Now, you're going to be a fan of that show. Two things can exist at the same time. Go support them. Meanwhile, if you love this show, you can always chuck us a follow on your podcast streaming service of choice, or maybe share it with a friend if you think that'd really, really like the conversation. That'd be really, really cool. Don't forget the radio version of this show with all the music in it also goes out Monday nights at 6 p.m. on Joy 94.9. Tune in then. I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.